Have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. The Word of God in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, the Word of God says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." If correctly read, that's Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. The main words that are on my heart tonight are found in the 8th verse, where the Word of God says, Jesus says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I don't believe there's anything that's more needed today than the kind of power that Jesus was speaking about right here. It was not a physical power. He wasn't telling them that they were going to have some physical kingdom and reign in the earth. I think that's what the apostles were looking for, was some kind of natural kingdom and a restoration of Israel where they were going to have great power over all the earth. Yet Jesus does say that they were going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost came upon them. If I were to ask you to tell me which apostle, just leading up to the crucifixion of Christ, which apostle showed the biggest cowardice and was the weakest apostle, which one of the apostles would you have said manifested the greatest amount of cowardice? Well, Judas betrayed him, and that was certainly the greatest amount of wickedness of any of the apostles, but I think that there was another apostle that showed more cowardice, which was the one apostle Peter, the apostle Peter. Peter, you remember, when he was confronted by women, he denied that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He denied that he was one of the disciples of Christ. Peter, in fact, cursed and denied. He just repeatedly denied that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. We find, as we look at all of those events leading up to the crucifixion of Christ, that Peter was not strong at all. Peter manifested no power. He manifested no love for Jesus. In all the temptations that were taking place, the Apostle Peter was the weakest of them all. I know that they all forsook him and fled, but the Apostle Peter manifested the greatest amount of cowardice. And yet, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're beginning to read about in the book of Acts, after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter was the one that I think manifested the greatest amount of power. The Holy Ghost was what made the difference. The presence of the Holy Ghost. You remember how, I want you to back up just a few pages in your Bible to John chapter 14. I'm not talking about being born of the Spirit of God, but rather I'm talking about something that comes after a child of God has been born of the Spirit of God, when they then follow God and keep His commandments. God then sends them the Holy Spirit in a special way. In John chapter 14, as Jesus was about to leave His disciples, John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Now, that Comforter, what's the name that we're looking at that He's called in Acts 1, verse 8? The Comforter is called what in Acts 1, verse 8? He's called the Holy Ghost. And Jesus tells them in Acts 1 and 8, he says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And they needed that power. And they tarried in Jerusalem. They kept his commandments. And his primary commandment was for them to stay in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. So they did stay in Jerusalem. And they waited in Jerusalem. And you remember how they prayed in that upper room and they stayed there. And Peter was talking a lot while they were in that upper room. And then in Acts chapter 2, what did God then begin to pour out on the disciples that had been faithful to remain in Jerusalem? What did God pour out on them? He poured out the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit came the power that Jesus was talking about. And we, in our lives, we might think we have power, but we do not have the right kind of power unless the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Unless we feel the presence and the power of God, any other power is of no value. For example, in the book of Zechariah, the Word of God says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, you can't do it in your own power. You see the difference there? Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, not by might, not by power. You can't do it in your own power. The Apostle Peter had already tried to do things in his own power. It was in his own power that he said, though everyone else forsakes you, I will not forsake you. He was talking about his own strength. He was thinking about his own power. He thought that he would not deny Christ, and yet he did deny Christ. But now after the resurrection, as he remained faithful and as he stayed in Jerusalem and as they prayed, God finally sent the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit came, there was also a great outpouring of a great power. And that's what I want us to look at, is the power that was manifested in the early church as the Holy Ghost came upon them. And we need to be praying that God will fill us with the Spirit of God, that God will fill us with the Holy Ghost, that we might have that same kind of power, not a power in our own strength, but a power that comes from God. In fact, someone was praying earlier that God would bless me to be able to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit. That's the exact same power. And a preacher can't preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit unless the Holy Ghost is with him. And so in Acts chapter 2, we have the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And with the outpouring of the Spirit of God came great power on the church, the disciples, who had not really had power as Jesus was being crucified. Now we find that the same men, they now have great power. And the reason they have power is because the Holy Ghost is upon them. Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 1, first of all, and we're going to be doing a lot of reading. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ to look in the Word of God, because we're going to spend a good bit of time in Acts chapters 2 through 6 looking at the power that the people of God had and trying to connect and see that the reason they had such great power and that the reason the early church grew so much was because the Holy Ghost was upon them. In Acts chapter 2 verse 1, the Word of God says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now come down to verse 4, Acts 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were filled now with the Holy Ghost. What had Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? He told them to remain in Jerusalem, to stay in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. What was the promise? The promise was the giving of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And what came with that Holy Ghost? There came great power and boldness. The people of God who had been ashamed of Christ, the people of God who had denied Christ, They now had power and were willing to stand up and confess Christ and preach Christ and teach Christ and do everything they did in the name of Jesus Christ. All the power they had to declare Jesus Christ, in spite of all the threatenings and all the warnings, in spite of the fact that they were threatened to be put to death, they still were powerful and bold because the Holy Spirit was upon them. In Acts chapter 2, come down to verses 15 and 16. And by the way, in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, in those chapters, there's one man that stands out the most. And the man that stands out the most in those chapters is the man who had been manifesting the greatest degree of cowardice earlier. I want you to see that there was a tremendous transformation in the Apostle Peter's life. Whereas he had denied Christ, now he's going to be bold and powerful. Acts chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Peter stands up and begins to preach and teach. And he says in Acts 2, verse 15, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And then he goes through and he begins to preach from the book of Joel. He quotes from Joel, showing that what was happening on the day of Pentecost was what Joel had prophesied would happen when the Messiah came. And Peter was preaching about Jesus Christ and that Jesus was the Messiah and Jesus was the Christ. Come down to verses 22 through 24. He continues to talk about and preach about Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Were the same people in power? I'm talking about political power. I'm talking about religious power. Were the same people in power today on the day of Pentecost as had been in power when Peter had denied Christ? The same people were in power. The same people had the power to put Peter to death now that they had just 50 days earlier. But today, Peter is no longer afraid to die. Today, Peter has power because the Holy Spirit has come upon him. And that's the kind of power we need in our lives today. We need Christians in America today that it doesn't matter what the government says and it doesn't matter how else you might be threatened. We need people that will stand up for Jesus and declare the truth of God's Word regardless of the consequences. And you cannot do that in the way God would have it to be done unless the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And then you'll be able to do it in the power that God's Word calls for. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, Peter's speaking. He continues to speak. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." What is Peter doing here? He's standing there telling the people of Israel that the same Jesus that you crucified, that's what he says a little later, look at Acts chapter 2, and verse 36, in Acts 2, verse 36, Peter continues to speak in power because the Holy Ghost is upon him. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ." Why was there such a change in the Apostle Peter? It was because the Holy Ghost was upon him. But what was it that led to the Holy Ghost being upon him? What does Jesus say in John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16? He says, "If ye keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will give you the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. He will send the comfort to you if you keep his commandments. And so it is that there is a process that if the people of God who can hear the Word of God, if they obey the Word of God and they keep the commandments of God, God will send His Holy Spirit to them, and when He sends His Spirit, they will have power to stand up and declare that Jesus is the Christ, no matter how great the opposition might be. Jesus is hated almost in our society today. Jesus is hated almost as much as He was in the day of these apostles. And if God blesses you and me to live another 5 or 10 years, you're going to see the same degree of animosity and hatred and the killing of Christians. You're going to see it in the United States of America. And the only way that anybody will not deny Christ is if they have the Holy Ghost upon them. And then they will have what? If they have the Holy Ghost upon them, they'll have power and they'll not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. So in Acts, do you see that in Acts chapter 2 that Peter was not anymore ashamed? Do you see the power that he had in Acts chapter 2? Much different than his weakness earlier. And as he spoke these words, you remember how the people responded and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Was there fear? Was there fear in the people's hearts when Peter was standing and preaching what he had said? Was there fear in their hearts? Yes, there was fear. What caused that fear? The same Holy Spirit that gave Peter power, that same Holy Spirit can strike a chord of fear in the hearts of other people. And the people that heard Peter preaching that were not following Christ, they were afraid. The people who had put Jesus to death, they were afraid. Why were they afraid? The Holy Spirit convicted them. They were pricked in their hearts. And they cried out, "What can we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of" what? The gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. What would happen then? Instead of them being convicted and being afraid, that same Holy Spirit that had convicted them and caused fear in their heart, it would give them power, and then they would go forth and they would declare that Jesus is the Christ. So there were many people who heard Peter preach, and they did what Peter said, and they repented. The Word of God says, "Then they that gladly received the Word of God, they were baptized." And there were added unto the church about 3,000 souls that day. Was there power that was happening in the day and in the presence of Peter? Yes, there was. Now in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going into the temple. And as they're going into the temple, there's a lame man there. And while they're going into the temple and that lame man is asking for gold and silver, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, the scripture says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You know what power? You know what power lifted up that man that was lame? It was the power of God. You know what enabled Peter to lift that man up by the right hand? It was the power that was in Peter. The Holy Ghost was in Peter, and Peter reached down and he took that man by the hand and he lifted him up, and that man was able to walk. A man who had been lame was able to walk. That was the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. And Peter was not ashamed to declare, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." All through that third chapter, as he's questioned, "How did you do such a thing as what you did for that lame man? How did you lift him up? By what power?" You follow the wording there. Look at Acts chapter 3. Listen to Acts chapter 3 verses 13. Well, 12. Acts 3 verses 12 through 15. The Word of God says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk?" What's Peter saying? You're looking at us like it was our power. You're looking at us like we did something. And then he says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. What's Peter doing in all of this? He's declaring the glory of God. He's declaring that Jesus is the Christ. He is doing what he promised Jesus way back there that he would never do, which is deny Christ. Now he is not denying Christ. And in everything he does, doesn't matter if he's preaching in power or if he's lifting up a man that was lame in power, whatever power he has, he's telling the people, do not be mistaken. It is not by our power that we're doing this, but it's by the power of God who raised up Jesus from the dead. It's by his power that we're doing that. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to listen to these words now in Acts chapter 4. I want you to hear the power of the Apostle Peter, who had been a coward earlier. I want you to hear his power. Brethren, can Jesus take a man that's weak and frail? Can he take a man who has no power at all? And can he lift him up and give him great power? Indeed, he can. Can he also take a man who has great power and bring him down to nothing? Absolutely. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, the Word of God says, then Peter filled with the what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if he's filled with the Holy Ghost, tell me something else that you know is with him while he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Power is with him. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people. Are these the same rulers that he used to run from? Are these the same people of authority that he was afraid of? Now he speaks to them boldly and with great power. And he says, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. You know what he's doing every time he talks about Jesus? You know what he's doing? He keeps saying, you crucified him, you crucified him, you crucified him, you crucified him. There are about a half a dozen times in these chapters that every time Peter is talking, he'll say, you crucified Jesus. Now, brethren, if it had not been for the restraining grace of God on those people, do you know what they would have done whenever he's standing there telling them, you crucified Jesus Christ? Every time he had said it, they would have killed him had God not been holding them back. And the only reason that every time Peter was so bold to declare it's all being done in the name of Jesus Christ is that the Holy Ghost was upon Peter. And tell me again, why was the Holy Ghost on Peter now? It was on Peter because he had tarried in Jerusalem. He had stayed in Jerusalem. And I declare unto you tonight that the only people of God who are going to have the power of God because the Holy Ghost is upon them are the children of God who tarry in Jerusalem. There are people of God, children of God, that are forsaking Jerusalem, forsaking the church, forsaking the kingdom of God, and they're losing the power that they once had. There are preachers today that 20 years ago they could preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, and they cannot preach today, and they don't have the power to preach the Word of God because the Holy Ghost is not giving them that power. And the reason the Holy Ghost is not giving them that power is they are not tarrying in Jerusalem. Brethren, it's a serious thing when we begin to back up and backslide and go away from God, away from the house of God, away from the Word of God. You're going to lose your power. You're going to lose your power. Worse than you losing your power is you losing the Holy Ghost. Because when you lose the Holy Ghost, you don't just lose the power, but you're going to lose the feeling of the Comforter when you go away from God. And when you lose the feeling of the Comforter and you have trouble, that's when, if you can't feel God with you and you're having trouble, that's when you're going to find that you're in hell because you can't feel the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. So we need the Comforter, but we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the promises to those that tarry in Jerusalem. If you stay in the kingdom of heaven, then you'll have the Holy Ghost. Come down to verse 13. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the scripture says, now when they saw the, what did they see in Peter? When they saw the boldness, that's the same thing as the word power, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Is it a marvelous thing what God can do with an unlearned and ignorant man? Is it a marvelous thing? Yes, it is. He can take the Apostle Paul, who had great power. He can take him, a very learned man. He can strike him down and bring him down to nothing and then raise him up and bless him to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or he can take someone that's an unlearned man and he can lift him up. It's only the presence of the Holy Ghost that enables a man to have the kind of power that we need in our lives today. So these men, they recognized the power and the boldness of Peter and John, and they knew that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that pretty? They knew. These men have been with Jesus. Come to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4, verse 31. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the Word of God says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness, not just the apostles now, not just the disciples, but all the people. There begins to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and not just the 12 apostles, but many other people began to speak the Word of God. They spoke the Word of God with boldness. Verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Come down to Acts chapter 5, verses 27, 28, and 29. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. We'll close right here, but I want you to listen carefully. Acts chapter 5, verses 27, 28, and 29. The Word of God says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in the name, in this name, that is in the name of Jesus? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. We should obey God rather than men. And you will obey God rather than men if you don't fear men. And the only way you will not fear men is if God gives you power from His Holy Spirit. See, the Scripture says, in closing, the Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of God has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I pray that God will help every one of us tonight, that we would realize how much we need the Holy Ghost. That we would realize how much we need the Holy Spirit. To realize how much we need the power of God. To realize how much we need the Comforter. May God help us to keep His commandments so that then Jesus will send the Comforter to us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.